Morning, church. 11:57, 3 minutes more to noon. Before I bring God's word, I need to keep soul and body together by selling you some products. Yeah, you know, I'm honorary pastor. That means they don't pay me. If you don't pay, get money from where? Sell products. So this is Boikoyo time. Two products to sell you. First one is this Saturday, Christmas Coven, please come. All right, it's very important. Every year I try very hard to persuade our members to come because it's a very rare occasion to have a congregation of people worshiping God in a public place. There's nothing to shout about if we worship in the church because we do it every Sunday, anytime. But to do it outside is very rare. You've got to get, you got to cross many hurdles just to get to do that. So many police permit, entertainment permit, and they told me 4 permits, you know, and then you got to get the support of PA, etc., just to be there. But we try very hard. This is our 13th edition. We've done 13 times. There was a break of 2 years during the COVID time. Otherwise, we have done 15 years altogether. And why we do that? We spend a lot of money, a lot of effort, simply because it's so significant. We have to bring the presence of God into the larger community. Bring the light there. We'll preach the gospel. It's not the long, long gospel because it's in a public place. People cannot listen to the gospel. It's very distracting, right? But nevertheless, we want to make sure that the essence of the gospel, of the significance of Christmas, is put across. So we need you to go. I think it's going to be very tragic if the community are there, but the church is all full of empty seats. Nah? So we need you to go, be there for each one of us, actually contribute to bring the presence of God there. So that's the first product I'm selling. Second product is a very, very serious one. Wash night service. You know, we have planned for 1,200 members to come, but the sign-up rate is very pathetic. I won't tell you because you might die of heart attack. All right, you must come because this is a KPI the elders board set for me. If I don't reach it, I'll be sacked next year. So you better come. You want to save me, better come. Sign up. Today's the last day. Sign up for wash night services. Again, one of the key events of our church. Every year, we want to cross the year together as a family. We like to worship. Like worship in the last hour or so in the year, and then worship into the new year. And it is not dancing, not drinking at some places, but worshiping to the God who is the Lord of our life, Lord of the years past and years to come. So can you sign up and save me? Okay. Now, today I am going to speak on the topic of thank God for you. And I'm going to introduce it this way. This is the first time I'm doing it. You're very privileged because I have got a group of people that will sing for you. Okay? First time. I mean, those who have been in this church for the past 30 years know that I don't do that. I get a group to sing, then I preach. So you're privileged. You're here. You're going to hear a group to sing. The reason why I ask them to sing is because the worship leader refused to sing this song. And then, why they refuse? She said, I don't know how to sing. And why don't I want to sing? The song is too old. Well, it's not Taylor Swift, I just give you a heads up. When the song is being sung, the lyrics will be upped. Look at the lyrics. Because it should speak to us, right? We don't come here just to entertain you with some sentimentalism, but there is a message that we want to carry home. Later on, when we preach a word, it will give you the theological, the biblical undergird. Then you know that you are not being cheated, okay? So the group that will be singing will be Melvin, Ben, our worship leader, and then Sister Oilin, and together with them, of course, Susan, will be there. So let's welcome them, and they're going to present a song for you.
Mm-hmm. Every time I think of you, my heart is filled with joy. I thank God for all you meant to me. You have helped me serve the Lord in many, many ways. We are partners for eternity. I'm thankful for your fellowship. I'm thankful for your partnership. I'm thankful for the love we shared in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the joy you've known. Thank God for the way you've grown. I thank God each time I think of you. God is using you to give this gospel to our land. Your whole life is serving in some way. And I'm sure you'll carry on. His work will still be done until Jesus comes again someday. I'm thankful for your fellowship. I'm thankful for your partnership. I'm thankful for the love we share in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the joy you've known. Thank God for the way you've grown. I thank God each time I think of you. You are always in my heart. It's right for you to know.
I love you because of Jesus' love.
I am praying every day your love will grow and grow, guided by His wisdom from above. I'm thankful for your fellowship. I'm thankful for your partnership. Thankful for the love we share in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the joy you've known. Thank God for the way you've grown. I thank God each time I think of you. I thank God each time I think of you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ben, Arlene, Mel. Thank you, Susan. Before we get on with the word, let's commit the time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the gift of people in the faith in our lives. People that we often take for granted, we often forget. And today, as we hearken to your voice, bring these people to mind. Lord, speak to us and help us to put in a new effort in investing in lives. Investing in our own lives, investing in the lives of people that you've given to us. So speak to us as you turn to your word. We commit the time to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Thank God for you. This is part of our series. And we used to sing this song. I used to sing this song in our church in the 1970s, 50 years ago. I hope the lyrics mean something to you. I've excluded the song from our worship segment because our worship repertoire, as you know, is always focused on God. And this song cover in a most unusual way because it is focused on us, on you, on me, on us. In effect, we are singing a song to thank one another and to thank God for one another. We see God in the picture. Right? I will refer to the words of this song in the message below. But before that, let us get everybody on the same page in our sermon series. The theme for our church for 2025 is based on Colossians 1:10, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. And we've covered 5 messages already. One on fruitful in every good work, the other on increasing in the knowledge of God, and then we've 3 on finding strength in life, various strength. Strength, physical, spiritual, resilient, emotional strength, and of course, the strength to forgive. So that helps us to grow in fruitfulness and good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The other thing that will help us to grow would be help from each other. We're going to find help from each other. And this is the subject of today's message. And I've entitled it, I Thank God For You. Following, I borrow the words from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. It reads, the pronoun here of course is we, but you can substitute it, paraphrase it to I. I give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So Paul was in fact speaking to the Colossians to say that, I thank God for you. And I thank God and I'm praying for you. So this is the subject. The one another in church. I want to make clear the main point, right? The gist of my message is that we need one another in life. This is a general principle. And we need one another in our spiritual growth, specifically. So life as a whole, we need people. You cannot live unto yourself on an island, be alone. You need people around. But that's the general principle. But what we want to stress today is that we need one another in our spiritual growth. It is so easy to forget the help we get from others in the church. It's so easy to take for granted the help we get in our discipleship journey over the years. I think the pace of life and the speed of time have caused us to overlook our indebtedness in love to each other. So we've forgotten that we're indebted to one another. Yet this indebtedness is commended by Paul in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. He reads, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. And basically is that it is a good value in life to feel indebted to love one another, right? If at all, you should be indebted. So I hope today we would all be reminded to thank the people who have helped us in our Christian lives. We should all have such people in our life. That means not just for me and my friends this year, but all of you should have such people in your life that you can thank God for. And you have no one, if you say truly, I got no one in my life that I can thank God for, then I think you should start investing in growing such a group of people. So let me ask you the following question and then help you, it will help you to stay engaged as you listen to the message. Question, do you have people in the faith? Now, I want to emphasize three words here. People in the faith. Because later on, I'll tell you about other people, all right? A lot of you in life that help us to develop, etc. But today, we are focusing on people in the faith. Do you have people in the faith that you always pray for and thank God for? Who are these people? They are people whose relationship with you is born out of a long-term mutual investment in each other's life. They are very enduring relationship that are undergirded by shared spiritual qualities of faith, of love, and of hope. And with this special group of people and relationship, you can recall many lived experiences and you can reaffirm many life values. When you sit down and talk, you talk about value and say, yes, yes, the reaffirmation of life values. And from this special group of people, you can receive encouragement. You can also give encouragement to continue in your discipleship journey. So this is a question that I want to float in your mind so you stay engaged as you listen. And I'll be using the following roadmap for this afternoon. Firstly, look at people whom we can thank God for. Secondly, the qualities that we want to thank God for. And thirdly, investing in one another. Let's start with the first one. People whom we can thank God for. I'll share with you a recent cruise on the Royal Caribbean cruise and also the past journey. Cindy and I were on a cruise 3 weeks ago with 10 pioneer members of our church. They were people with me when we started the church in 1974. And it was an intentional get-together, first time actually of a get-together. We haven't had such an event. And we enjoyed the food and the fun immensely. Above all, we enjoyed the fellowship, because the fellowship was grounded on shared life journey over 50 years. Let me show you a picture or two. That's a past. We were like very young. I'm in a red tie, not as handsome as before. And then you can take a little picture of the cruise picture. I think this one. This is a more recent one they were in. All right. 50 years ago, Cindy and I were the adult leaders of the group. The rest were just teenagers. So Melvin and people up here, they're all Oilin teenager. And then, of course, Ben. Ben was not born yet. That was 74. Ben was born in, I think, 78. I think so, yeah. One of the first few babies in our church. Of course, we reminisce the past during the cruise. The common sentiment that echoed at our sharing time was one word: thankfulness. We were all thankful for one another. We met on the second day morning of the cruise, and we went in the mahjong room, and we occupied the whole mahjong room, lock up, and then we started to sing. And share. And if people want to come to play mahjong, they couldn't. They say, sorry, all right. So, can do that next time. So we had a sing-along session and sharing. And one of them that we sang, was "I Thank God For You." Unfortunately, we did not have a video clip of us singing that song. I think the better rendering of the song was sung by Ben, Susan, Oilin, and Melvin just now. Now, it is not about nostalgia. This message is not about nostalgia. It's not wanting to make you feel nostalgic. It's not meant to be sentimental. The people and the song reminded us of how we have impacted each other in our discipleship journey over the past 50 years. It was very heartwarming. It was very uplifting. The important thing to note is that such an experience is not restricted to an exclusive group. It's just not for us and the pioneers, but it is open to all of us. Each one of us seated here today should be able to recall, to assemble, to be thankful for people who have journeyed with you. So it is non-exclusive. It's open to all. There must be people in the faith, and three words I mentioned again is in the faith, that we can thank God for, and for their investments in our lives. There must be people who have helped us in our discipleship journey in the past. Question: why bring this up? It is to remind us to be thankful for the people who have helped us in the past. That is the whole purpose. It is a reminder for us to continue in investing in each other in the days ahead. Because if you don't appreciate, you don't remember, then why should you keep on investing? And then Christian life become narrower, more self-centered, more self-sufficient, and you have missed out a lot. So it is good purpose for us to touch on this subject. I'll share with you just a little bit of the reflection by the pioneer. First one, of course, Melvin. Melvin said, "What a great joy Su Fang and I have had during our cruise experiences, the activities we had made us more alive than ever before when we share our lived experiences about ourselves and our families. The years we invested in one another surpasses any superficial activities that we treasure. The sharing of how God has made us so unique and interconnected cannot be measured by just one event. However, the memories we hold are indeed precious and encourage us to stir one another to greater heights. Thank you for remembering those years we served one another. I'm sure we can glorify all goodness to a loving, gracious, merciful God, Abba Father. May God's grace and peace be with us all. Edwin Ho shared, "We thank God for all of you, for molding us from earlier years, that now we can enjoy and relate with one another as servants of Christ, as families, as friends, to see him face to face. Eunice and I enjoyed the bond, the fellowship, and all the sharing. As we recall the memories of you, we thank God that you're part of our life journey. We treasure you, look forward to greater strengthening of our relationship. Praise the Lord." And then lastly, my sharing, one paragraph. "My life has been shaped by the people I served, including the pioneers." So it is a two-way thing. The benefits are mutual. I benefited them through, I have invested in the pioneers over the years. But at the same time, I thank God that for the pioneers whom God used to mold me into the person I am today. Without them, I don't think I'm what I am today. So I've received from them, and I've been blessed by them. Rejoicing over the past. We celebrated shared lived experiences. We invested in one another. We molded each other's life. Right? So those are the important elements. Shared experiences are what, you ask? You know? Well, it included playing captain's ball every Saturday afternoon. Climbing Mount Ophir. I remember leading them 3 times to Mount Ophir. Eating supper together after cell meeting. Taking lunch together after worship service. Doing church camp together, and so forth. Sounds familiar? Sounds like you are also doing it? Of course. This is what shared lived experiences are made of, that are carried over the years. Of course, we had our fair share of teenage angst and pain, particularly for them, caused by unrequited love, girl-boy relationship breakup, academic failure, and so forth. In my teenage years, same thing. Don't know how come. Always love girls that don't love me back. So a lot of unrequited love. Fortunately, found one. Right? Cindy Chua. We invested in each other's life. We spent time doing Bible study. We spent time praying together. We shared Christian literature. We hang out a lot. We talk late into the night. Adult members like me open our homes, housing the youth, giving them study space, feeding them. We served God together, did outreach, did church. We led cell group, took up church leadership responsibility, molded the Christian character of each one of us as we serve. It sounds absolutely like what we are doing now. Like what you are doing now. And many of you are just doing exactly the same. Playing games with kids, opening our home, opening our heart, going mountain climbing, running marathon together, and so forth. And we are actually building up these memories that is not just sentiment, not just nostalgia, but will end up with values that we carry for life. It's a special group of people. Now, I am not so narrow-minded as to ignore many other categories of people that molded our lives. Our parents, our relatives, they formed the village that brought us up. Our teachers, lecturers, professors, tutors have influenced our personal development. I remember with fondness Miss Lily Serena Wong, my primary four teacher, who left an indelible impression in my life. She was the kindest person I've ever met in my entire life, like Lily Serena Wong. And that was 70 years ago. I'm so sad that I could never locate her because In those days, got no Facebook. Yeah. And no, in recent years, when there was Facebook, I tried to get in. She's not on Facebook. Our bosses, our colleagues, have contributed to our personal growth. Our neighborhood friends, when we were growing up, and the many friends we have found in school, university, during NS, they have enriched us. 2 Sundays ago, I was preaching at Salem Church, and somebody behind, I was in the second row, I was in the first row as a guest speaker, tapped me and said, "Do you recognize me?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you know my name?" I said, "No." And then he said that I am your classmate at SJI, St. Joseph Institution, classmate, you know. I said, "Oh dear, I can't recognize." And then he said, "To prove that it's true, he took out a black and white picture and showed me. Then this is our class photograph. Can you point out where you're seated?" I look and look and look and look. Couldn't find myself there, right? You know, all the kids in the picture so duh, you know. How can I be there, right? But it was very clear. I mean, I could recognize my form teacher, Brother Sebastian. Today, we are celebrating a special group of people. And we're not discounting those other categories I have mentioned. But I want to focus on this special group. People who have journeyed with us in our discipleship journey in the context of the church. And I call it friends and people in the faith, right? And with this special group of people, we gain spiritual qualities that are very unique. They trumped whatever we may have gained from the other categories of people that I've listed above. The time spent that we invest in our church life is hard to beat by the categories of people that I mentioned, our lecturer, tutors, etc., except our parents, of course. Our parents stay with us for the span of their life. But what are these qualities that I'm referring to? And this leads me to the next point. Right? These are the spiritual qualities that we gain from this special group of people in our life. Reflecting on the spiritual qualities of the Colossians, and that will help us see. It is very instructive for us to notice the qualities in the Colossians that Paul thanked God for. Paul said, "I thank God for you." Then he mentioned those things that are there, the qualities. And if I say that, "I thank God for you," and then you say, "Yes, Pastor, I thank God for you," but then what are the things you thank God for about me? They are qualities that we can reflect upon as we thank God for the people in our life. We've kept them in a very narrow range. Right? These qualities, I'm only mentioning 4. There are a lot more, but you'll go forever because it's very wide. But we narrow down because what we can find in the Colossian passage, we take it out because we're doing the book of Colossians. All right? So it's non-exhaustive, it's narrow, I know. Colossians 1, 3 to 8 says that, I thank God for you since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about your love for all the saints. And because of the love which is laid out for you in heaven, you heard before in the word of truth in the gospel. And it's bringing off fruit. And who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. As you study I'm doing it quickly, truncating it, lifting up the key words. The 4 qualities in the people that we thank God for that are mentioned by Paul are faith, love, hope, and fruitfulness. Look at faith. Paul wrote the conclusion, "We heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for you when I heard of your faith." When the pioneers and I celebrate our time together during the cruise, I thank God for the quality of faith in the life of each one of them. See, when I sit down and we're talking, all of them are still in the faith. They are still living a Christian life, you know. The faith in Christ is still solid today, and that is so encouraging to me. They are strong in faith, no longer the baby Christian that I was caring for in the early years of a Christian life, because 50 years ago when I started a church, they were just teenagers, full of problems, full of rubbish, okay? But the rubbish have cleared. But they are now, you know, elders in church, full-time worker in church, and all the rest of it. they recounted the time passed that I spent with them over Bible study, how they gained their Bible knowledge at cell group. Today, they are still learning and growing towards spiritual maturity. All of them, I think we all growing. I hope I'm still growing. I want to grow. It's true that there are some others have fallen away. In the past 50 years, many have fallen away. But seeing the pioneers at the cruise still going strong in faith is most encouraging. It is also very rewarding to know that my labor in the Lord was not in vain. And I want to speak to those of you who are investing, who are also pouring your life to young people, teenagers, messy people, pang sai pang jiovan, all messy. And sometimes it breaks your heart. Don't give up. All right? Years later, there'll be opportunity to reminisce of coming together and of looking back and then thanking God for the quality of faith you can see in these people. Love is the next one. At the cruise, the pioneers shared with me their present respective ministry they're involved in, and they're actively serving God. And their labor of love is very people-centric. That means they're serving people. They serve the Lord by serving people. And they reminded me of what Paul spoke of the Colossians' love for all the saints. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "We heard of your love for all the saints." Of course, they loved the Lord, but they expressed their love for the Lord by loving all the saints. And how does one express love for fellow Christian? How do you show love to people here, right? The pioneers shared with me about the love they received. They said, "Oh, SP, we thank you for this." And when I heard about it, nothing great, leh. Because the label of love they remember of past years was expressed in what? Hospitality. "SP, you're so hospitable. You open your home to us, you know. We stayed there. You cooked for us. We got, our house was too noisy to self-exam, and then we studied at our house. We thank you for giving time to us and giving us money." Very little, I mean. But they were students. No money except allowance. I was working. And so it's quite natural. And love them in offering listening ears and then in sharing open hearts. When you listen to all these things, nothing great and dramatic. But to them, it was an expression of love. So listen to me. You, the leaders here, the cell leaders, the teachers, when you are just opening a home to grant hospitality, when you're giving time, when you're just taking out money to buy a meal, you're offering listening ears, you're sharing open hearts. This impacts people. Years later, they come and thank you and say, "Wow, thank you for your love for us." How? Just this? Yeah. Hope. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." At the cruise, I realized how anchored the pioneers are in the hope of Christ. So we spoke about eternity. You know, what is most important? We were not in, nobody was in despair about how bad the world is and all the wars and all the calamities, but we cited eternal values. We spoke about future with confidence. We know you're anchored. We talk about visiting one another in heaven. They say that, "SP, we have decided that we'll congregate at your house in heaven." I say, "Why?" "We think you're going to have a very big house." Yeah. I say, "I hope so." What about if they're wrong? Huh? I hope I got a big house, but sometimes you go up and then you find that you people all have very big houses. You go to SP's house only, the ATAP house. Yeah? And then you go to ask the Lord, "Lord, how come my SP's house so small?" Say, "You don't know, lah, he's a bad guy." He's a bad guy. Well, they all say that they will continue in their discipleship journey with no turning back. That's called hope. Fruitful in the gospel and fruitfulness. Colossians 1, 5 to 6. Paul said, "I thank God because you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, and then you're bringing forth fruits. And it's also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God." So he's talking to them about they're being fruitful in the gospel and the fruitfulness in their life. There are people who heard the gospel, came to know Jesus, only to drift away from the faith quickly. they may have received the gospel, but their lives remain barren. In contrast, the people we celebrated at the cruise are people who had received the gospel, remained fruitful in the gospel, and they have been reaching out to the lost, just like how Paul expressed it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. The gospel they heard motivated them to share the gospel with others. The gospel they heard led them to become new creation of God. They live fruitful life in terms of character fruits and conversion fruit. Right? This is what we call transformed life, spoken of in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Then, well, moving forward, besides the qualities that we are talking about, the spiritual qualities, now going forward, is how we should strengthen and stir up one another. We talk about the future. We look forward to strengthening our relationship. We want to keep stirring up one another to love and good works. All right. So we are not saying that we must organize cruise every year and more cruises, more party, but we're all talking about, man, it's so great to be reminded, and I think we should continue to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In Hebrews 10, 24. We tend to forget to thank God for this special group of people. Friends that have journeyed with us in life, in the faith. I think all of us got no problem thanking God for parents, thanking God for our spouse, thanking God for our children, for sure. But we often forget to thank God for friends, especially long-time friends in the faith, friends in the church. So today, please be reminded. Perhaps for some reason, you have no such friends. Say, how to thank God for friends in the church? I've got no friends at all. No worries. It's time to ask God for such friends. Remember that with this prayer request comes a requirement for you to cultivate such friends, because they do not drop down from heaven. They must be cultivated. Right? So a man who has friends must himself be friendly. In other words, if you want friends that you can thank God for, you have to start making friends. Start investing in people. You have to put in the investment to cultivate them. So it is time to start investing in one another. This brings me to my third and last point. Investing in one another. Question. How do we invest in one another? At the cruise, we did three things. First, we reminisce the past activities. Secondly, we rejoice over the present achievement. And thirdly, we reminded each other of the promised accommodation in heaven. We laugh about it, but we are looking forward to it. We reminisce a lot of activities we had in the past. There were lots of fun growing up. We also went through grief, pain as well. And it was more than just teenage angst. All right, I know teenagers, they are not here today, they are all having camp. So you all passed that, but you affirm that, yes, I agree, SP. You, all of you have been teenagers, teenage angst. And there were heartaches over heartbreaks. Seems typical of teenagers, right? All our heartaches and heartbreaks. Failures, you know. These are two main things in life then, relationships, examination. So we shared a lot about that. Paul also shared with the Colossians about sufferings, struggles, pain he was going through. In Colossians 1:24, he said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I want you to know what a great conflict, struggles I have for you. All right, so it's not just fun and game, fellowship, cruise, you know, party. No. There were pain, there were grief as well. It make up sharing life together. Right? There were also, of course, about labor, about ministry. We're actively serving God in church. We also created memories that we hold precious. We're not just clinging on to memories, but we're holding on to values that guide us to practice. Meaning we remember the things we did that actually resulted in certain values that we have, and today we are still carrying the same value. So if 50 years ago, we were having activities about this fun and fellowship, actually taught us a value that through this, you can bring a lot of people on board in a relationship, and we're carrying it through to today. If 30, 40 years ago, we were so actively doing community penetration, caring for the people in the community, it has resulted in certain value about community engagement that we carry today. So this is what I'm talking about. We don't just hold memories, but we want to hold on to values, all the memories that guide us in our practice today. And from present achievement, the most important one are the value we still hold today, because we still hold the values of love, hope, and faith, right? And we still show the fruitfulness of good works done to glorify God. So if you ask me, Pastor, how to invest with one another, this is it. And nothing difficult, nothing like a PhD thesis or master's degree. It is a thing that you can do anytime in this place. I think in the investment to one another, we also provide an overarching investment policy. The church is a place you can invest. This place. Because the church is like a fund manager who grows your investment. Not money, yeah? Because if it's money, you're going to draw. I got no one to pay. But it is lifelong investment with a view to right living, and it's God-pleasing. Treat this like an investment house. There are many investment houses. You go, different ones, teach you how to invest. But we focus on certain fundamental investment policy. If you're here in this fund house, investment house, these are the things we go for. We want to help members grow in knowledge, but it must be knowledge protected by understanding and wisdom. Growing knowledge, running a lot of courses, giving a lot of books to read, encouraging you to get a string of degrees is itself quite dangerous, actually. But unless it's also protected by understanding and by wisdom. Knowledge tends to build up, puff up. In fact, hardcore knowledge is always very dangerous, right? It should be protected by understanding and wisdom. We also want members to grow in knowledge, but the knowledge must be balanced by practical action and good work. So no point just having head heavy, but light heart and empty hand. So Paul reminded them, verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge. Okay, so knowledge with you, etc. But it must be in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So if you got some knowledge that is so exoteric and so fantastic, but you lack the wisdom and understanding, then you'll be lost. Verse 10, they walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So you increase in the knowledge, yes, but you're also fruitful. So what I call the balance. We feel that you should grow in knowledge, but balanced by practical action and fruitfulness. You should grow in knowledge, but it's protected by wisdom and understanding. We believe in this house. If you come to this house of God, we ask you to invest it with these fundamentals. Next, we have, this church helps you to be grounded in faith and steadfast in love. Verse 21, 23 of Colossians 1. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now he has reconciled, present you holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight, that you continue grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. This is how we want you to grow. We teach you biblical faith. We model for you how to live by faith. And we challenge you to act by faith. So that's the second overarching policy. The third is this. The church will explain the word.
The church will lift the hearts, and the church will unite people in love. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. I pray that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. So this is often achieved through sharing life experiences of conflicts, struggles, and of how we overcome. Such personal testimony would encourage others. It will help us to have a greater confidence in our faith because we can gain from the testimonies of others a better understanding of the quality of faith. All right? We'll find stronger faith based on wisdom and knowledge. The sharing of testimony also knits our hearts together, encourage them in the Christian walk. So this is what we meant by sharing life, and this is to sharing all these things, okay? That's very directional, very purposeful, very biblical. We are open, vulnerable, and this leads others to be also open and frank. See, encourage sharing of lives at a deeper level. So that's our second investment policy. And the third is that there's a roundup of fundamentals that we believe in our investment policy. If you invest in life and people invest in you, all right, this is another fact. The church will teach and encourage the following fundamental. Number one, to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That you walk in Him, you'll be rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. It means, let me just explain, chapter 2, 5 to 7. We believe that you should grow in discipline and unity. These are fundamental in a church. That means we want a church that is a disciplined church and united church. Not anything go, you can do what you like, and chaos all the time, all right? And this will translate into your life, a disciplined life, and you're able to walk in unity with other people. So it is important for mature Christian to walk in unity and discipline. And Paul used the word good order, rejoicing to see your good order. And this is basically discipline and unity. Then, of course, you want to see you being rooted and built up spiritually. These are fundamentals in church and in Christian life. So Paul emphasizes the importance of that. The next fundamental is to pray. Pray for one another. It's a fundamental in church and in Christian life. Keep one another in prayer. And Paul prayed for the Colossian Christian always. He said in verse 3, chapter 1, I am praying for you always. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, he said that you must continue earnestly in prayer. And in the meanwhile, you pray also for me, meaning that we pray for one another. So these are then the investment. You can start investing in this house, in the people here, because we've got clear-cut investment policy. Let me now come to the conclusion. Are you with me so far? Yeah, okay, good. Are there people for whom you can thank God for? We intercede for people in our life when we are in need. We share prayer requests. We uphold one another. But do we thank God for people we appreciate? That's the point. We tend to fail. To do that, I think we'll keep in touch with people, know how they're doing, remember them, thank God for them, we pray for them. Most importantly, remember that we grew up in our discipleship because of one another. It's a two-way benefit, right? Leaders grew up by leading as servant leaders, and younger members grew up by learning and building the church together. I'm what I am today. I grew up because I've been serving. It did not happen in a vacuum, because it's impossible to be a vacuum. You grow up because there are people around you that you're pouring your life out, and as you pour your life out, God is also building you. So that's a tremendous investment. I want to tell you, you've got to do the same thing. You just come and sit and listen, it won't work. That you've got to start doing that investment. And it's not rocket science. You don't need a PhD. You've got to just learn to climb mountain together, play games together, go do outreach together, do camp together, do cell together. And over the years, because the values are coming out, the generosity, the openness, the sharing, and the values will grow so that you don't just have memories, nostalgia, sentiment, but this lead you to values that you hold today. All these years, you are able to hold today. Values like love, hope, you know, faith, and that fruitfulness are just some of the things that we have. The people have left us, of course, and not all bad, because they go to better places and we are glad. The people have joined us. That doesn't mean that you've left your friends behind. Friends in the faith can be kept. There are some of you with friends in the faith that is not within this investment house. You got sub-investment house. Somebody spoke to me after the first service that, I think she got a lot of friends in a parachurch ministry that has been serving for many years. I said, thank God for that. We are just telling you about people in the faith, all right? And it comes about as we are investing. That's what I'm saying. And it is about your own spiritual growth. And it's about helping others to grow. This is what Christianity and this is what church is all about. So I pray that as you come, some join us later, some join us much earlier. There are pioneers that joined us 50 years ago. Even in a group, in a cruise, we had two of them who were married in. They were not in 1974, but they came in the 80s because they married some of the guys there. But then after that, they were journeying with us. So things like that happen. The important thing is start. Start investing. Amen? Are you hearing me? Start investing. It is for your good as much as it is for the good of others. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Now, it's 12:50. I want you to spend 1 minute quietly and speak to God and say, God, help me to recall, remind me of the names of people, my friends in the faith I walked with over the years that I've invested in, they've invested me. God, bring them to my mind so I can thank you and be reminded of the values that I've carried as a result of them. Would you do that? Take a minute, recall, all right? Now, starts now. Let's join our hearts in prayer together. Father, I want to thank you for each one of us. You have not left us alone in our Christian walk. You have brought people into our lives, and for that we thank you. Thank you for those that are still walking with us. We thank you for this investment house, this church, Living Sanctuary, Brethren Church. You have brought us here. Lord, thank you for people that have already started to invest in our lives. We thank you for the church. They've given to us all the investment opportunities, all the tips, advice that we can put in our investment that will yield forth tremendous profit for our life. Lord, thank you. Help us to remember. Help us to be grateful. Help us to appreciate. For this is our prayer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Now, I want all of us to stand. We sing this closing song. And after that, I'm going to bless you and then dismiss you. Let's sing this song together.
Thank you, Jesus. for your grace so free. I lift my voice to praise your name. Praise you again and again. You are my voice to praise your name. Praise you again and again. You are everything. You are my Lord.
Receive the blessing from God. And now may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship, the illumination, the insight of the Holy Spirit be with you today and abide with you forevermore. And let all God's people say, Amen.